So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we know it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by the Spirit of God. And he continues to be faithful, continues to help us, continues to guide us. And we're in the book of Ephesians, and we're in Ephesians chapter 2. And yesterday we started looking at how we are saved by grace, or how God found us dead. We were dead in sin, we were dead in trespasses, and we walked according to the pattern of this world. You know, we had were under the control, you know, of the prince of the power of the air, and who is the same one who is at work in the sons of disobedience. Indeed, all unbelievers are under the control of the devil, and the devil takes advantage, controls them through their thoughts, through lusts of the flesh, and they find themselves fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of their own minds. And the Bible says they are children of wrath, you know, they are objects of wrath. That is the wrath of God. So whenever we are in sin, whenever we live lives that are out of Christ, we are under the control of the devil. And the prince of this air is the devil. The Bible also calls him the god of this world, with a small g. He is the god of this world. He is the one that is trying to influence, and he influences the systems, the society's thoughts. He influences culture, behavior. You know, all these things are it's under his control. But you see, when you are in Christ, when you discover the mercy of Christ, when you are saved by grace through faith, God includes you in Christ. When he is punished on the cross, when he pays the price for the sin, God includes you in Christ when he is buried. And that is why we are buried in baptism with Christ. And God includes us in Christ in the resurrection. When Jesus resurrected, we are resurrected with him. And not only are we just resurrected, but also God includes us in Christ when we are raised up in glory. When Christ is raised up to glory and is placed at the right hand of the Father, the Bible tells us we too were included in him when we were raised up in glory, and we too are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And this is the place of authority. The Bible already has told us in 1 Ephesians 1 towards the end that far above all principalities, all powers, all thrones, all dominions, and every name that is to be named in this age and in the age to come. That is where you as a Christian, you as a believer, are seated with him. You are seated with Christ far above. You sit with him on the throne. We rule. That's why, you know, he is a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. That is, Christ is our Melchizedek. He did not come from the lineage of Levi. That means he had a new priesthood. A new priesthood, one without end, you know, without beginning, without end, without father, without mother. That is the order that we come into as believers. That we are made in that order where there is, we are not from a family of priests. We are not of the lineage of priests. We are not of the lineage of the Jews. But you see, when Christ creates a new priesthood, then we become partakers of that. That people who are not of that lineage enter into the new grace. And the Bible says that it is by grace you have been saved. Salvation is not the work of man, and it can never be the work of man. I have no capacity to save myself. I have no capacity to take myself to heaven. No matter how good I am, it is nothing to God. The Bible says our righteousness, our righteous acts are just by filthy rags before God. That means you can imagine the filthy rags, how dirty they are. Our righteous acts to God are like that. Because there is no righteous act of a human being that has the capacity to make him acceptable in God or to God. But it is only what Christ has done. And that is why you are saved by grace through faith. You know it is the mercy of God that he included us in Christ even when we are dead. But now we are made alive But also we know that it is the mercy of God that you have to believe. It is a gift of God through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man can boast. You cannot boast about what you, where you are or what you have. No. Everything that we have comes from God. Everything, whether it is your sermons, whether it is your church, whether it is your workplace, whether it is your contract, whether it is your leadership, each and everything that we have comes from the Father. It comes from God. It is a gift of God. No one can boast. The Bible says we are His workmanship. In fact, I think it is Amplified that says, maybe let me just open that version. We are His handiwork. I love how it puts it. Recreated in Christ Jesus. Let me just open that. Yeah, it says, for we are His workmanship, His own masterwork, a work of art. Recreated in Christ Jesus. That means that we are born anew. And you know, one of the things about God, you know, when He says we are a new creation, that's what He's saying. We are recreated. That means you are not the same. When you come to Christ, you are not the same. Spiritually, you are not the same. You are now included in Christ. And that's why the Bible says, my life is now hidden in Christ and Christ in God. That means the devil cannot find you. If he has to find you, he has to find Christ first. And if before he finds Christ, he also has to find God. Why? Because you are included in Christ. And your life is hidden in Christ. And Christ is in God. As long as you stay believing, there are things that are not for you. They cannot find you. Witchcraft cannot find you. Fear cannot find you. The devil cannot find you. Why? Because you are hidden. You are enclosed in Him. And when you are enclosed in Him, when you are enclosed in Him, then you can fight the forces of darkness. You can trample over the enemies under your feet. The Bible says we are created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above. That means spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which He set so that we will walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us. I'm telling you, there is a good life that God prearranged. The Bible says you are living, that He wants you to just walk into them. When you understand the grace of God, you will know that everywhere you are, God had prepared in advance for you to come. Your job is where God had prepared you to be. Your business is where God had prepared you to be. The family that you're in, your marriage is where God had prepared you in advance to be. That when you submit yourself to the leading of God, you can actually just say, God, I have dreams, yes. But my dreams can never be greater than the dreams that you prepared for me. For David, his greatest dream maybe was just to be the best shepherd of his father. But you see, there was a dream that was bigger for David, that God had, that even for him, he will never have imagined that one day he would be king over Israel and Judah. You can think of Mary. Mary was just a virgin girl. She was just living her life, preparing to get married to Joseph. Yet God's dream that interrupted her dreams prepared for her to be the mother of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be the blessed one. That is why the Bible tells us, let us be slow to speak and but quick to hear. And it's not just to hear from people, but to hear from God. Because when you submit yourself to His leading, when you spend time in worship, when you spend time in the Word of God, when you spend time in quiet time, just meditating on God, you can just put some worship and just meditate. Think of the goodness of God. I tell you, then God starts to bring into your thoughts things that you should do. Because God's voice is not so hard to listen. God's voice is hard when you look for it. When you create time, when you're spending time with Him, when you're conscious of Him, then He drops it in your thoughts. and you know that this is from the Lord. That is a confidence that you must have, that God is in you and God is speaking and he is preparing. He has prepared the good works. As I said before, we don't do works to be saved, but we do good works because we are saved. If someone is saved, we will see their good works. But we can never say the good works are what makes them saved. We only do good works because we are saved. And God, the Bible tells us, God prepared it in advance for us. This is what, you know, there's that wisdom that the Greeks call phronesis, where it is that place where you find that you are carried. There's a wisdom that takes you ahead, that you find that you think of someone and they appear. It's like there's a sensitivity of the spirit that you are ahead. Nothing catches you by surprise. There is a place where God lifts you up, that he prepares you in advance, that you walk into the good life. And the Bible also tells us, verse 11, therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Look here, what is Christ saying? He's saying, he's speaking to the Gentiles and he's telling them, you Ephesians, you are Gentiles. And remember, you are called Gentiles by those who think that they are of the covenant. Remember, the Jews are proud of their covenant. They say they are sons of Abraham. They are the seed of Abraham. That they are the descendants of, they are the ones who are given the covenant of circumcision. The circumcision tells them that they are people of covenant. They are the people of God, the holy people of God, the only Israelites, the true Israelites. That is what they say. But you see, there is something that Christ did. He came to bring we Gentiles, we who did not know God, he brought us and included us into the commonwealth of Israel. That means there is a commonwealth of the cross. In fact, when people, you know, say, oh, how Jews are so rich and all that, it's because they walk by covenant. There is a covenant that they have, that they are blessed. Now, God is saying that you too are included in that covenant of Abraham. When God told Abraham, I will bless you, I will make your name great, I will bless you that into a great nation, that anyone that blesses you, I will bless. Anyone that curses you, I will curse. And he tells him, look to the north, to the east, to the west, to the south, wherever your eyes, as far as your eyes can see, that I will give unto you. When he is accounted to the righteousness that is by faith. Now we too are partakers of the same through Christ, because the promise is made to Abraham and his seed. Remember Galatians 3, Abraham and his seed. We are the seed of Abraham. Of the seed of Abraham was given this whole earth. The Bible says the earth was willed to Abraham. God willed it to him. Now when you are the seed of Abraham, that means that this entire earth is willed to you. You are a partaker. That means every part of this earth belongs to you, because it was given to Abraham. And his seed is Christ. And that's why Christ comes and is now possessor of heaven and earth. Christ says all authority in heaven and on earth, that means has been given to me, therefore go. That means whatever power that you need, whatever authority that you need, whatever favor that you need, whatever command that you need from heaven, whatever restraining orders that you need to give, you have the power. Why? Because it is delegated to you by Christ our Lord. And the Bible says we were once aliens from the commonwealth. That means we were foreigners from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. These were not even covenants. You know, the covenant of Abraham was not even a covenant of him doing it like the law. No, it was a covenant of promise. And the Bible tells us the promise came before the law. So that means that the law that was established 430 years later after the promise cannot cancel the promise. Why? Because God swore by someone greater than himself. I mean, there was no one greater by which God could have sworn, so he swore by himself. He made an oath to Abraham. Now, do you want to live under the promise by faith, salvation by grace through faith, righteousness that is by faith, blessings that are by faith? You know, the commonwealth that is by faith, that you receive it through Christ. You are now a partaker of that. You are enjoined in Christ. And the Bible says we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That means we are near to God. We are near to the covenants. We are near to the throne. We have access to the Father. That's the beauty of God. God brings us to the place of knowledge. God brings us to the place of redemption, to the place where we are united and by the blood of Christ. Because it is blood that brings life. The Bible tells us that the life is in the blood. The blood is the one that washes. The blood is the one that cleanses from sin. Blood is the one that is given for sacrifice. There is no greater sacrifice than the blood, the purest blood. That was the blood of the Son of the Lamb, the Son of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That is the blood that has the greatest currency. The Bible says, verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. What is God saying? He himself is our peace. That he, Christ himself, he has made one. That means that the Jews and the Gentiles that were different before are now brought into the unity of one man. What separated the Jews and the Gentiles? It is the law. That was the law that was the law of ordinances, the law of Moses. You know, rituals are what separated the Jews and the Gentiles. But Christ has come to reconcile both the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Bible says he has created in himself. That means we are in Christ, a one new man from the two. That means the Jew and the Gentile, they are come into Christ, into himself, and become one new man. Remember, the work of the apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers is to bring everyone to the unity of the faith and to the perfect man. Who is the perfect man? The perfect man is Christ. That means Christ is he our head and we his body. Both Jews and Gentiles, we are brought unto the perfect man. We are recreated in Christ. So you see, there are many analogies to how we are in Christ. Peter speaks of we are lively stones being built into God's house. You know, John the Revelator sees us as that heavenly Jerusalem, where he sees the disciples are the pillars, and we ourselves are part of that wall where we are stacked as pillars or as walls, precious stones, either in the foundation for the apostles and you know, the gates and the walls. We are all part of that house. Paul looks at it as we are one man. We are brought into the unity of one man. And that's why I say that Paul has the greatest revelation of the church. He brings us into alignment to know who we are in Christ. That when you see Christ, you are not apart from him. You are in him and he is in you. And that is why you are his hands. You are his hands that heal people. You are his hands that speak in boardrooms, that speak in meetings, that speak in difficult conversations. Why? You have the mind of Christ. You know what God would have done in this situation, and he allows you to do it. When you walk in this authority, when you meet a demon, you cast it out. When you meet a sickness, you pray it out. When you understand the newness of the new man that brings Jew and Gentile, slave or free, Greek or Hebrew, male or female, we are brought in that unity of one new man, the perfect man. And the Bible says, this God did that he might reconcile them both. That means the Jew and the Gentile are reconciled, both of them to God in one body through the cross. And he has put to death the enmity. What is the enmity? He said the law of ordinances, the law of Moses. He has put it to death and he has brought peace. Those who are far off, Gentiles, and those who are near, the Jews. For through him, we both have one access. We have access by one spirit to the Father. I tell you, when you come as a perfect man, you have access to the Father through the one spirit. And the Bible says, now therefore, you're no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, members of the household of God. We are members of the family of God. Remember, by the nature of God, he has made us his family. He has given us the God nature in us, the divine nature that makes us a family of God. You know, you cannot call a dog your family because it does not have your nature. But God gave us his nature. He made us in his image and likeness, and he gave us his spirit. And that is why he can commune with us, and he is proud to call us his children, sons of God. The Bible says we have been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple, in whom you also are built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That's why we're speaking about the church, the mystery of the church. We are one new man, but we are also the household of God, the family of God, but we are also the building of God in the Spirit. We are a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. Oh, these are things that when you understand, when you start to live it, then you will know you cannot be cast, you cannot be bewitched, your star cannot be stolen. When you come to the understanding of this, then you know that sickness has no right to be in your body, that demons have no right to oppress you. When you understand that you are in the perfect man, you speak to yourself, you speak to your body, you speak to anything around you that is out of disorder, the same way God spoke and things came to be, then you speak and things start to obey. Why? You speak from a consciousness of the new man that you are made as a church, both Greek and Gentile, created in Christ, born anew, spiritually renewed, born from above to live the good life which he prearranged in advance for you to live in. The good works which he made in advance, we are created into a new man. That is the status of the believer. There is a new man, and that new man is perfect, perfect in God. And that perfect man has access by one spirit to the Father, and we are no longer Gentiles, we are no longer aliens, but we are fellow citizens. That means I'm a citizen of heaven. I am first a citizen of heaven before I'm a citizen of my country or a citizen of the earth. Know who you are. Know where your citizenship is. There it cannot be revoked. Know your rights as a citizen. And you shall experience the power and the presence of God in all things. I'll stop here. Brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Dr. Emmanuel, for the mind of the oneness in Christ. Indeed, we are one. By his salvation, we are one. By his love, we are one. By his grace, we are one. And there's no Gentile, there's no Jew. Father, we are all children of God. God saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we all now enjoy the same blessings, we enjoy the same inheritance, the Heavenly Father. We enjoy the same right for Christ. There is no circumcision to define between the believers and unbeliever, but only believing and confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord. That is all that we need. Whoever confesses Christ and believes him as the Savior and Lord is a child of God. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your past. We all become one and we all share in the same blessing and the same faith and the same life of living by the ways of the Lord. So thank you for that, and I'll stop here.
Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. Thank you that by your blood you have brought peace from the two to become one, and you brought us to the perfect unity in you, to the perfect man, that we are your household, we are your body, we are your inheritance, O God. I pray may we walk in this revelation, may we speak from this revelation, may we preach from this revelation, may we teach others from this revelation, knowing that you have done a mighty thing in our lives. You are doing a mighty thing, and you will continue to do a mighty thing in our lives. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. Thank you for your children. Pray for healings. Pray for direction. Pray for breakthrough where there are delays. We cancel them in the name of Jesus. That you speed up, O God. We silence every voice of the accuser, every voice of the devil. We break it in the name of Jesus. I thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom and bless a blessed day.